I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Coming up on TMS, the faucet is beside itself.
I'd like a stink combo with fries.
Too early to get a fish sandwich combo.
Let's fix the ship's faucet.
Ask your doctor if ivermectin is right for you.
Why don't you just tell me what the parasite people are saying?
Accidental Tazon Day.
Deposit your Pikachus.
Oops, I dropped a nut.
My motto is F me.
No drinking unless it's at work.
You can make bricks!
Meaty sauce.
They announced Alan Tunick?
Just throw dynamite at it with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Do not be moved to pity. Do not let your sword go cold.
Your butt is going to be mine.
The Morning Stream.
Love The Morning Stream, so I thought I would try introducing The Morning Stream hosts. I hope you like it. And now, Scott Johnson and Brian Ubit. This is The Morning Stream.
I don't think I've played that since it was new. It was a long time ago.
That is he's channeling Tazon Day. Is that the second Tazon Day reference that we've had in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, and I didn't even mean to do it because I actually pulled that file and had it queued up before last night when Tazon Day came up. So, yeah, Tazon Day all up in it again. He's back. Back again. He still does stuff. I see him on TikTok on my main page once in a while. Just show up going, and then he moves on.
Does he? Okay.
Yeah, just singing, you know. Still doing what he got famous for.
Yeah. Does he still step away from the mic to breathe?
I don't know. Feels like that guy breathes like the rest of us all the time. But when he gets on a microphone, special circumstances kick in. He has to step away to breathe.
He breathes his pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else.
Just like everybody else, damn it. But anyway, there you go. Welcome back to the show. This is TMS, The Morning Stream. I'm Brian. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
I mean, if you want.
We could swap places for a day. Let's see. How would that go?
Sure.
What would I do? I couldn't get on my bike today because it's snowing here for some reason.
Oh, well, it's going to be windy here, so I got to do the indoor.
Because yesterday it was
blowing me right off my bike.
It's like 65 degrees yesterday, sunny and beautiful, and it's snowing now.
Yeah, that's welcome to the Mountain West.
Yeah, March, early April. It's kind of effed. Most of it.
You really can't expect, you know, you can't predict anything. We've got like high 50s today. So if it weren't super windy, and it might not be when I decide to go out, I can totally do my my cooler weather gear, which are the long uncomfortable pants instead of the short uncomfortable pants.
Oh, the long expensive pants you were talking about yesterday.
The long expensive pants. Listen, I got to put some miles on those things to really make them worth it.
No kidding. So maybe the wind will be to your back. Maybe you'll be fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I got to come back home sometime. I ain't throwing my bike in a lift. It's going to be in my front. If it's at my back, unless I go all the way around the earth,
yeah,
it'll be at my front when I come home.
You'd have to be very lucky to turn around and have the wind shift.
Wouldn't that be great? Like yeah. if I were a weather wizard or a storm or somebody like that.
Yeah. You know what's really cool about this? Reminds me of something. That game on PlayStation 4 and 5, the Ghost of Tsushima, that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Sashimi. Yeah.
The way it does, it's, you know, a lot of games, open world games are like, oh, here's a marker way off in the distance. That's how you know where to go. You'll hit a button and a little path will remind you what direction you're supposed to go or whatever. This game does a thing where you just swipe the little pad up and the wind blows in the direction you're supposed to be going.
Really?
Okay. And not just wind, but just billowing like cherry tree leaves or blossoms and just stuff just blowing that direction. So you always know where you're supposed to go based on where the wind's blowing.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. You can't like, you know, flip open a cape and like ride the wind a little bit.
No, right? That would be cool, okay. But also cool, yeah. Antithetical to its more realistic samurai.
I like
set.
That. Yeah, I like that a lot more than here is a flashing dot where you can deposit your Pikachus that you caught.
Yes, it's a very organic method of telling you where the heck to go, and it kind of works the same. But yeah. It has this feeling of like, no, it's nature telling me where to go.
I imagine when I upgrade to the middle tier of the PlayStation Plus thing, that'll be one of the games that I'm probably able to play since it's not.
Oh, I don't know. That one is, they haven't released a list, so we have no idea.
Yeah.
We don't know.
But I mean, we know it's not going to be new day and date stuff. So I'm thinking Ghosts of Tsushima. Tsushima is going to be old enough to
here's
maybe
my, be here's my guess. Maybe not. My guess is the PlayStation 4 version will be. Mm-hmm. I'll bet the PS5 one's still premium because they still sell that for $70. There's no way they're gonna put that on that list. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not. Wrong. Maybe I hope not. They fill this thing with all the best hits of the day. But I have a
only
feeling
the best hits.
Yeah,
the
only best the best hits. I have. I just have this sneaky feeling they're not gonna do it. But we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Yeah, you're probably right.
Hey, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes the internet provides quality content. And
okay.
I would like to share with you some of that now. I'm not going to do it for the 10 hours that it's actually here. There are 10 hours of what I'm about to describe to you.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
10 hours of Nicolas Cage screaming in a car in a scene from The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good.
So I just thought this was great. I'm going to play a little of it. Here you go. It just goes like this. Let me turn it up a little. Oh, it won't let me.
Wow. All right. I never would have guessed that was.
Didn't sound like him to you?
Nicolas Cage. No.
Yeah, that's him.
I would have guessed Tina Turner, sadly.
Yeah, I mean, same. Now, this goes for. Wow. That's really annoying. Sorry.
It's already gone too long.
I'm finding it hypnotic. 10-hour video of this.
Jeez.
Yeah. Like what other, I'm just trying to think, you know, everyone wants to talk about what wastes, things like NFTs are or whatever that they, yeah, you know, they're a waste of energy, waste of resources and everything. How do we feel about 10 hours of him just screaming on a YouTube video? That's a lot of bandwidth.
Yeah, it's not like the cool, like video game arcade noise or the Enterprise background sound, things like you'd put on as you're working to kind of just tune things out and be in the zone. But
wouldn't do that. That wouldn't be your thing.
Yeah. Janis Joplin, that's who that's exactly what I was hearing, not Tina Turner.
Oh yeah, Janis Joplin. I could hear that. Yeah, totally could hear that. Yeah, here's, so this is like TNG engine sounds. See, this is nice.
Yeah, I like it. You've got that one just bookmarked, right?
That's I have this one on repeat. I love this one. It's one of my favorite things in the world. And I also have, let's see,
They really figured out a way on Star Trek: The Next Generation to steer into the fact that they had crap microphones in the first season, and said, you know what? Why don't we just call it engine noise?
Why not? They were just getting some feedback, and they thought, you know, we can fake this. Oh, here's another one. This is good. This is Bridge. So you get the both the engines and the kind of you can just hear Riker going, Captain, I think this is some bullshit. Oh, number one, there's fine. It's all good. And then what's her name saying? I feel something funny from the planet.
See, we're being hailed by the Albuquerque. Okay, on screen.
It's like we're there. Look at that. We just recreated a whole episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's funny we bring that up because we're NFTs and Star Trek. Star Trek just announced they're going to do some NFTs.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, which annoys me because, look, that whole thing's already starting to dry up in terms of the hype anyway. So I don't know why they're getting on it so late. But also, I feel like given the impact that NFTs have on the environment, it seems antithetical to what a show like Star Trek, which celebrates a future of sustainable energy, would want to do. You don't understand what I'm saying? Like it goes against, like it serves current market, but it doesn't serve this Gene Roddenberry future that he created at all.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I don't know how that's going to go. Good luck to them, I suppose, but I don't think it's going to work out. All right, Brian, I have a thing I'd like to do here. Hold on.
All right.
I'm in the wrong tab. I'm in the Star Trek chill out tab. Here we go. Okay. I'd like to register a complaint. today, I would like to mention this. Fast food combo should not be cheaper than getting the item separately. So in other words...
I so totally disagree, but I'd like your explanation of why you feel this way.
I should be able to go to a place, let's say Burger King. Okay, we'll just use them as the example. Okay. Yep. I would like a Whopper and a medium order of fries, but I don't want your drink. I don't want one. I don't need any soda today. I'd rather just have water. And if you do water with the combo, you still pay the same. It's not like they're going to give you a discount.
Sure.
So it should be as expensive or as cheap, however you want to look at it, to buy those two things separately than if I added a Coke to it. Because that should only make it more expensive. Instead, it makes it cheaper. So why can't I have those items for what they should be, which is less money? Why do I pay more for having these two a la carte items that they've got billions of? It's not like it takes them more time. It takes them less time.
That's why it's a combo. I mean, think of it this way. You can buy those things separately and you'll pay exactly what you should pay for them. But with a combo, you're incentivized to say, oh, you know what? Maybe I do want that drink. Oh, and it'll cost a little bit less. Okay, I'll do that. But it's, you know, it's not like they're charging you more for the things you buy individually. They're charging you their regular price for the things you buy individually.
Well, okay.
They're just giving you a discount when you buy multiple things.
That's true. But if that may be true. That's the thing is I don't actually know that.
Everything is subjective because they set their own prices. Yes,
yeah, I mean, don't know. I don't know when they did it or how they do it. But what I'm saying is if I break them out into pieces, it'd be one thing if you said, well, yeah, the car is going to be more expensive if you don't get these three items with it because we have to physically make a change and do a thing. Like it takes work and people and whatever.
Sure,
this doesn't.
Sure.
This takes less work. No one has to fill a cup. No one has to do anything. In fact, it's less work if you just said, hey, give me one of those things under the heat lamp. Just one. All I want is the burger. Why is it $2 more than if I got it with a combo? To me, what's the incentivization to that for them or me? Because they give me less stuff. Why?
So can I currently buy like a Current Geek Chronicles hat?
No.
I can only get it as part of the limited edition combo?
No, there's nothing. None of that is available. That was what I'm saying.
It's still on your store. It's right there.
Oh, he might have it. He might have some old ones. Find me a better example. Like, let's say. well, no, that one doesn't work literally because I don't think he has them. I think that's a bad listing. I could be wrong.
All right, let's see. I'm sure you've sold something on your site that was like, well, if you buy all three blanks, then I'll knock the price down.
Well,
to X amount.
He's going to. Oh yeah. No, that's true. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, how's that different?
Because if you're making, it's different because it's a totally different process. If I'm printing, let's say it's a, let's go down to these Christmas cards. See this bundle, the card set for $12? Those would be more individually, right?
Say now, again, wait, say that one more time.
The Frog Pants holiday card set on my store.
Oh yeah, you're okay.
Okay,
yeah.
It's like the third row down.
But you don't offer those individually. You only offer them as a set.
No, but right? If we did, they would be more money per card.
Yes, right. It'd maybe be like $5 per card versus getting
that's 100%. That's 100% a production thing. So it's got nothing to do with, hey, we'll give you a deal.
It doesn't cost more to produce a cup to put your drink into, or the.
No, it does. That's my point. That's my point. It does. So if they. You just said my thing. It costs them more to fill a cup full of Coke than if they don't. So why do they charge me more? Now, if they were printing cards, I get it. They got to do bulk. They got to do it that way to make the price happen.
So you would only increase. Like you would not say, well, you know, it costs. Okay, let's look at it this way. So you've got the Frog Pants holiday card set, four cards.
Yeah,
for $12.
Yeah.
So $3 a card. Would you sell them individually as $3 a card?
No, because they would. Because if we were only selling them individually, it would have been a production choice, and it would cost us more per card, so we'd have to charge more per card.
Okay.
And that's going to be true of most goods.
Then why don't
services.
You charge four times the cost it takes to produce one card? Charge that four times instead of because. You know, these don't come off the printer as a four pack. They come off the printer as individual cards.
Right. But if we make a deal with the printer that says, well, if you do 100 of these and
do you like that deal you get from the printer where if you do more, they charge you less?
No, I understand.
It sounds like you like
I understand.
That deal
my point is, my point is it varies depending on the business. That's why I don't think my stuff compares. No, for real. I really do. I think it's all different. What I'm saying is I don't understand how McDonald's or any of these other guys have any of that to deal with. They don't. They don't have a bulk problem. They don't have a, well, if we're going to sell these individually, we're going to have to, you know, charge more than if we put them in a combo, because they don't save any money by doing the combo. Do they?
No, but they make, well, I mean, they say they don't save money, but they make money because they're giving you something at a discount that incentivizes you to spend a little bit more for something that most people do get as part of the set, right? Okay. You usually get a Whopper and fries and a drink.
So if a combo let's say a combo is $5, which has not been true for a while, but let's say that's sure. Those were the good old days. Let's say you get a combo for $5. And if I don't want the drink and I just want the burger and fries, I'm going to pay like $5.50. That's what it's like right now. So you have to pay.
So if you buy, right, if you were to buy each of those things. Oh, I see. If you were to just buy two of those things, it costs more than the combo that has three.
Yeah. That's the complaint I'm registering.
So basically they're paying you 50 cents to take a Coke.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, I guess they are, if you look at it that way. But
if you look at it that way, right? Like, in other words, well, I'll pay $5.50 for just the Whopper and fries, but if I get the Coke, you'll knock it down to $5, and you're basically paying me 50 cents to take the Coke.
Yeah, and it encourages this kind of weird sort of waste in my mind, because if I'm going to buy, okay, fine, I'll get the combo because it's cheaper, but if I really don't want that drink, that thing's going to get dumped out in the yard or something, you know? Like, I'm not going to drink it.
So even when you get, let's say, you know, you're doing prints and not talking about a combo of prints, but you're going to the printer and you're having them do up a bunch of Alan Alda prints, your mash prints.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's you can get 100 of them for this amount, but you can get 200 of them for this amount, which is not twice the 100 amount, right? It's a reduced amount. Right. It doesn't cut it, like, it's still printing each one of those on the press takes the same amount of ink, takes the same amount of production, takes the same amount of paper, all that stuff, but they're giving you a discount because you're getting more of them. That's
right.
Same principle.
Partly, but they are also getting more out of the stock that they get from their supplier for stock, for paper stock.
Well, I imagine they get a discount too if they buy more stock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That goes all the way up. None of that is untrue. That's all true.
You know, Burger King probably gets a discount if they buy 200 pounds of fake meat as opposed to 100 pounds of fake meat.
Well, exactly.
It doesn't cost double the...
But I'm eating the same amount of meat. See what I mean? Like, I'm not actually getting anything in bulk. I'm saying...
Well, the end person, I mean, at some point, the discount stops. The buck stops here, right? Like, at some point, the end user doesn't get the same discounts that travel down the production line from the cow to the factory to the Burger King to the individual location.
I'll tell you who does do this, and I respect it. It's In-N-Out Burger does exactly what I'm asking. They will sell you. They will sell you at that double burger thing. Yep. They'll sell you that for the price that it is. And if you get a combo, those other things are those.
I don't even think
price.
They even have combos at In-N-Out, do they? It's like burger, fries, drink.
That's true.
They have six items on their menu. Yeah,
yeah, you make your own combo. Or if you tell them you want a combo, they know what you mean, but they don't have some weird pricing. It's literally those three things combined.
But wouldn't it be better if they added a combo? So they've already got their deal, right? Yeah. Buy the burger individually, buy the fries individual, buy the drink individual. Yeah, it is this cost.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if they said, but if you buy all three, we'll knock 50 cents off the price? Now, you don't have to take that deal. Yeah. You can still go with the thing you like, which is buying all three of those things individually. And say, I don't want the combo. I just want the burger, I want the fries, and I want the drink for what it says the cost is on the menu.
Yeah, but then we're back to the problem, which is they're making it less expensive for me to be a la carte than I have to buy the whole thing. Then they're in the problem. And they don't seem to be having a – they seem to be doing just fine. Those lines go around two blocks where I live, so I think they've got it right. I'm telling you. Give me individual pricing. F this freaking fake combo.
But they
combo.
Do give you individual pricing. You can still get all those things for individual prices.
Yeah, but I'm saying don't charge me more for the same shit that I just... And it's less work for them. It's less stuff to sell me. It's less things to give me. Don't Don't try to fool me. They've got me in this little marketing hoo-hoo going on in their heads. It's like, oh, but what if it was a combo? Look at the vast savings. Ugh, hate it. Drives me nuts. All right, that's my complaint. It's registered.
All right, okay.
It's in there. Let's get some economists out there writing in. I'd like to hear your take on why.
Hey, Tina would like to lodge a complaint. Can Tina lodge a complaint?
Of course, always. Hold on, I'll give her this. Sure. Okay, go.
It would go, Brian, you did a great job replacing our light switch with a dimmer, but did you have to break the sink? Yeah, so this weekend
I take it some home repair did not go the way you planned.
It did not. So I installed a new dimmer switch. Like, listen, I can do the electrician stuff. I'm no electrician, but I can do that sort of thing, right? Switch off the junction box, open it up, pull the wires out, connect this, connect that, blah blah blah. No problem. We get this brand new light in our bathroom, and it was super bright, but it supported a dimmer. So I installed a dimmer, and it looks good. It matches the rest of the bathroom. All good. Yesterday, I guess I'm feeling super confident from my electrician duties. I'm like, you know, we've got this problem with our sinks that there's some calcium buildup on the little, not spigot, I guess the end of the spigot, whatever, that is causing the water to kind of spray a little bit to the side. Mm. And so it's like, oh, I'll get some CLR. I'll take the little caps off, the little strainer caps off the spigots, put them in some CLR, calcium lime rust remover.
Oh, is that a thing you soak stuff in?
It is, yeah. No. It's this magical green liquid that you can put stuff like that in. Just eats away calcium lime and rust. It's amazing stuff. Mm. And then, you know, screw them back on, we'll be good. So I'm like trying to unscrew this thing off of the end of the spigot. It's not working. The aerator. Thank you, Free Rangers, the aerator. So I go and I get the pipe wrench. And I'm like, all right, get on there. I grip it. I turn. Some calcium comes off the side. I'm like, all right. It's slowly starting to move. Moving a little bit. Crack. That's not moving, and I don't see what cracked, but I hear a cracking noise. I'm like, let's check this faucet. So I turn on the faucet and I hear water moving.
Just don't see it moving, do you?
Does not seem to be coming out of the end of the faucet. Now this is a bathroom that's got two side-by-side faucets. So right now it's got one side-by-side faucet and,
yeah, and the other one. So what do you have to? Is it down in the little loop pipe thing? What do you call that? The little dip?
I think it's in the. I think it's in the arm part that comes where the water comes out, like the stem where the water comes out. Oh. I think there's something that.
Gotcha.
That broke in there. I don't think it's as far down as the P trap.
No. Yeah, that'd be good if it wasn't all the way in there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I and you've got two matching sinks, right?
Yeah.
Two matching faucets. You can't just replace one. You've got to replace two, otherwise you have this weird looking mishmash. Mm. And we've been planning on redoing the sinks. Oh, and the kitchen and the bathroom counter. Do we do all of it at once? Do I get faucets that I know we're gonna like and keep, you know, forever when we redo the rest of our bathroom? Which is what I think I'm gonna do, is just, you know, get just one faucet that I know is the type we want, but probably have to buy two, because if we buy the one and we install it then when we're ready to redo our bathroom, that one's not available anymore, then we're kind of screwed. We have to do two.
Yeah. You don't want to spend a couple of days going to all the hardware stores with a photo of the one you did get, trying to find the other one that matches it. Ugh, that sounds like a nightmare.
Yes, exactly. Claire says you have two sinks in one bathroom.
Yeah, we're Americans, baby. Get used to it.
Did you decorate your house like a hotel? Funny you say that. I mean, the mirror lights that we installed last year are the kind like you see in hotels, where it's a mirror and then the outer rim is a frosted LED light, and so you get light from kind of all sides around your face.
I really like that. That's actually a great way.
It's a great way to find all my blemishes. I saw the MGM Grand and said, I want that for my house.
Yeah, that's cool. So, Claire, the way it works is it's often true that you'll find two sinks in a normal,
like a master bedroom.
Yeah, and that sounds way fancier than it is. There's nothing fancy about either of my sinks, but there's two of them in there, and they're fine. They get the job done. There's a there's a shower in there, you know. You guys have showers in the over there?
not from my experience, Scott.
We got hot water. I don't know if you guys have that. It's pretty good. I like some hot water.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's fun. So are you going to do all the work, like all the fixing?
I'm going to have to, yeah. I mean, basically, it's replacing sinks, and I figure that's, you know, you shut the water. It's like electricity. You shut the water off, you unscrew the thing, you pull out the thing, you put in the new thing that's the same shape as the old thing, you screw it in, you reattach the water, and then you turn the water back on, and Bob's your uncle.
Are we going to
be able to do that until Saturday?
We should do bets. We should have some tadpole bets about how many times you drop an F-bomb while you're working on this.
Oh, yeah, okay. We could do that.
Yeah.
Tina can monitor.
Yeah.
Because I do. My MO on stuff like that is, like, I drop a wrench, or I lose the nut, you know, drops behind the thing, or the screw falls behind the counter, or whatever.
Yeah.
My MO is F me. But I, you know, when I say the actual word, that's
all right. So Tina, you keep track, and we'll have some fun with it. Everything's
Tina
content.
Will keep a tally. Yes.
All right. Nice. Well,
not
good
a
job.
Tally-a, but a tally.
I'm impressed that you, you do the sink stuff at all. Kim, every time we've had a sink problem, my wife fixed it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't find it emasculating at all. I'm fine with it. Because whatever.
You should.
I'm bad at these things. Nobody wants me in there with a bunch of tools doing. I'm just going to make it worse. I swear. So don't have me do it. I have no problem with it. I've accepted my fate in this world. I'm not the guy to fix your sink, ever.
Ooh, you know what I'm hoping, though, is that when we go to Home Depot and look at these sinks, that if we find two that we like, I hope it's cheaper to buy a pair of faucets than just one individual faucet.
Yeah, that'd be great if you can get a bulk discount from the from the hardware store. Actually, in that business, that might make sense. Might make perfect sense. Give me two for one. Yeah,
right.
It's all
it definitely wouldn't.
My main takeaway, by the way, for everyone listening at home, my main point is that sometimes marketing sucks. It's just because all this is
marketing.
When you're
going to blanket statement, yes, obviously sometimes marketing sucks.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's marketing sucks. And so what you all think is a deal for a combo is not. I mean, it is, but it isn't. You know what I mean? It's all bullshit. They're just trying to get you in there. That's what they do. Yeah. And it's fine. Just
what are you doing getting fast food anyway, Scott?
Well, it's once in a while.
Are you going to talk about that in real steps?
No. Probably not. I mean, I have to admit to it, right? You have to stand up and go, hi, I'm Scott.
Yes.
Hi, Scott. And I'm a fast food addict.
What's in the confessional? What do you say? It's like, I took the Lord's name five times and I went to Taco Bell.
Yeah. Dip, whatever they do, they touch their chest four times. Or whatever.
That's right. Exactly.
Something like that. Claire, you know what's up. You got a lot of Catholics. We're giving Claire.
We've seen Belfast. We know how that all works.
Yeah, we know what's going on. All right, that's it for this stuff here. I think maybe we should do a little bit of news. So let's do it. Hey, look, it's the news, and it's brought to you by
the following statement. Yo, Dave. Yes, you, Dave Donnelly. Phil is the greatest, and you blow goats.
Well done.
Thanks very much.
That's really good.
I read that one ahead and I worked on it to figure out exactly the tone that I wanted to take on that, and I figure I nailed it.
Yeah. Phil, you have to let us know how we did. I think
was Phil the one that I guess Phil would have to.
Yeah, Phil would have to. I hope it's Phil. Yeah. Jeez.
I hope so. It could be somebody who really likes Phil.
That'd be real bad. Somebody needs to feed Phil. All right, check this out. Ivermectin, remember the worm, the horse wormer stuff, dewormer?
Oh, yes. The popular COVID medication, ivermectin.
Yeah, everybody was really into it for a while. Well, it turns out, I think this is about as definitive a study as you're going to get, and there have been others before it, and
it won't be enough for somebody.
Oh, of course, and somebody somewhere is still taking it. Someone right now is eating a whole mouthful of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's worthless against COVID. They did the largest. I know, shocking. Real
horse
shocker.
Dewormer? Come on now. It's practically in the name. Can't spell COVID without horse dewormer.
That's what I'm, you know, scramble the words. Find out for yourselves, everybody. Now, that's something I'd want to buy in bulk.
Dewormer.
I want to go to my local feed store and get two for one on some ivermectin.
There we go.
See, it works. It works there. Yes. So here you go. This is the largest clinical trial to date that they've had, and there have been a few, but this is the biggest. Largest clinical trial to date for the anti-parasitic drug ivermectin against COVID-19 concluded that the drug is completely ineffective at treating the pandemic disease, according to results published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Wednesday. The double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled clinical trial, those are all, you know, the key mm-hmm. things there, was primarily designed to test ivermectin and see if it could reduce the need for hospitalization among 1,358 COVID-19 patients at high risk for severe disease. Ivermectin did not, according to the international team of researchers behind the trial, dubbed Together. They said this: we did not find a significantly or clinically meaningful lower risk of medical admission to hospital or prolonged emergency department observation with ivermectin, concluded the report.
So,
yeah,
man, I hope like if I'm in the hospital for COVID and they say, hey, we're going to do a horse dewormer study, but you might not get it. You might get a placebo. We're just doing a double blind placebo controlled randomized study. I'm like, yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do the regular stuff for me. I'm cool. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Now, there is the one thing that I will mention, and a lot of people miss this and they just think it's for horses, and it's not. It's actually for all kinds of animals, but it's also for people when they get like river parasites,
yeah, sure,
stuff like that, because it's a dewormer, it's a parasitic, anti-parasitic, and that makes sense. There's nothing about the COVID-19 virus that is a parasitic.
Sounds like the dogs need some dewormer now.
I don't know what's going on. Probably a siren, these two, yeah. And then one goes and it's fine, and then the other one kind of chimes in, and then the next one's like, oh, you want me to respond?
I don't always hear it, but when I do, it's magical.
Loud. And they're, I think we have three dogs today. It's a three dog night at my house.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
I think we're watching Boomer. I'm not sure. Nice. Anyway, an earlier study using cells in petri dishes suggested ivermectin has antiviral properties at very high concentrations and could inhibit the pandemic virus. But the result of those trials and other clinical studies have been mixed at best. Some small studies, which may or may not be of poor quality, have claimed that ivermectin has benefits against the virus. A few meta-analyses, including those questionable studies, have provided a veneer of efficiency or efficacy, but turns out, doesn't work worth shit. So,
no.
Do not
take that, Joe Rogan.
Yeah, don't be drinking. Did he do that? I don't remember. What's that? Was that he did that right when he got it?
I think so. Yeah.
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 That's bad. Don't be eating that.
Is that what Aaron Rodgers took preemptively to? Or no, it was something else. He's been immunized.
Yeah,
I've been immunized.
Yeah, he was doing some weird thing where he was like sitting in making himself throw up with some weird toxin. Something like that, right? He had some weird.
Yeah, I can't remember what the deal was.
It takes like 24 hours, and it's like a nightmare. It's like those. It's like those. Peyote Hut things that what am I thinking of? There's some movie or something where they go into a little hot hut, mm-hmm. smoke a bunch of peyote, mm-hmm. have a whole bunch of like weird
sweat lodge.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think a sweat lodge.
And then they
a hot hut.
And they drink some like, you know, whatever it is, and then they come out and yak for an hour, and then their whole life has changed or something. That's what it
claims. Yeah.
Arrested Development, that's right.
Was it in the newer, like that new season of Arrested Development?
I think there was something about that, yes.
Gotcha.
It sounds awful.
TRPW brings up a good point. At some point, maybe your streaming service took ivermectin, and that's why you can't watch Parasite.
Oh, maybe that's it. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, no, now I wonder, because if it doesn't work, maybe that was all a lie. So now I got to figure out what's really going on. I think what's really going on is I have a preemptive slowdown in interest when subtitles are involved.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know why. I don't think this is that unusual. I think a lot of people feel this way.
Yeah,
it's just, I just don't feel like reading sometimes. Sure. And so even though if a movie's like incredible, and I've seen plenty of incredible films that are all 100% subtitled.
Yeah.
I still am like, well, I could do that. Or there's this other thing where I don't have to read anything. I can just watch, you know?
Yeah, but it's so good. Yeah. And Flea, like there's so many movies where it's like, oh, if you can't get over, like that somebody calls it the 1-inch barrier because it's just the bottom inch of your TV.
Yeah.
Flea, the international, let's see, it didn't win best documentary, but it did win best foreign film this year. Or no, I'm sorry. Did he win foreign? No, Drive My Car won foreign film. Maybe Flea did win best documentary. I can't remember. But anyway, that's another really good thing to get over subtitles for. Totally worth it.
Totally worth getting over those subtitles.
What about, you didn't do Squid Game?
No, still haven't seen Squid Game. Same thing.
Oh, wow.
Same thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
Not that I have no interest. Oh, I do.
There is something new, some new Korean thing that was all big. Maybe on Netflix.
We're all
similar,
dead.
Kind of like dystopian.
Is it the We're All Dead one or whatever it's called?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I started it and it was okay. It's a series. And it seemed okay, but I, for whatever reason, it didn't hold me. But yeah, that was also. I may have listened to that. I may have listened to the dub on that.
Okay.
Which I can
I did. I did the dub on Casino Heist only, or not Casino Heist, Money Heist, because Money Heist, yeah. I heard that it was the dub was well done. And it was. It was really well done.
Yeah. The Platform also had good dubbing, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. If you guys never saw The Platform.
I never saw The Platform. I remember you recommending it. It was like weird, this weird little
so weird
allegory to class systems and stuff.
I had the trippiest experience last night. I'm watching C pretty late, and I'm in season two now, and it's got Dave Bautista and all these, you know, these new people in it. And at one point, I'm in a scene where I realize, oh, my gosh, they're in this city. It used to be Pittsburgh. Now it's called something else. And it's 500 years in the future and it's all gone to shit and everyone's blind. But in this
the
scene,
real pits.
Yeah, in this scene, they're having like a council meeting and Batista's there trying to make a case for militarization of the sighted, like figuring out a way to get the sighted more common so that we can then train them to be part of our army and then we'll just rule the world. Anyway, bunch of people in that room. I'm like, these people look familiar. Why do I know that guy? How do I know that guy? And of course, I'm like, well, I know Jason Momoa. He's, you know, the star of the show. And of course, I know him. But I'm having this weird thing where all three together are making me have serious flashbacks.
Weird.
And I went and looked it up. It's the dude who played the leader of the team. I forgot his name now. For Stargate Atlantis, which is where Momoa got his start. So Jason Momoa, that was his first TV show. That's where I remember seeing him first anyway. So he was on that with him, and I forgot his name, Shepard, I think. And then also the guy that played Dr. Squirrely Boy. I forgot his name. Anyway, the doctor on that show, the chief scientist guy that was also on Atlantis, is in this scene. So all these like Atlantis people are all
Stargate Atlantis. That's great.
It was weird, man. All right. Claire.
I just watched one of my recommendals tomorrow will be a movie that features a British comedy duo in a very not comedy, but features the two of them together. And I was like, oh, that's clever casting, keeping these two together. It's great.
Nice. I can't wait to hear about it. I know one of the things you're talking about, but I'm not sure what that one is. So I will stay in the dark because I kind of like not knowing.
I like that. Good.
Even though we write it in the thing, sometimes I like to just.
Well, what's good about that is we do it early enough to where it's like I'm planting my flag in this one. And it's like, okay, I won't watch that this week. Or if I do, I know I can't use it for recommendals. And then we forget what it is by the time it rolls around. Which
Or I'll hear some audio and I'll have no idea from the audio. Yeah. And I love that. So we've done best of both worlds here. We're no longer stepping on each other's toes, but we have a little element of surprise.
Correct.
David Hewlett, that's his name. Thank you, Wabbit Magic. He is he's great. He's he's patient zero in that. No, not that guy. That's David Thewlis.
Oh, David Thewlis, right. David Hewlett. I saw that and thought, oh, it's such a close name. Hilarious.
It is very close. He was patient zero in that first Planet of the Apes reboot thing. He's the guy that had the virus. Anyway.
Okay. All right, good.
Anyway,
a couple days ago, I shouted Louis Armstrong when I meant Louis Anderson. So there you go.
Sure. Look, we got names. They mix up. It's how it works.
Exactly.
So the point is,
you want to prevent this thing? Name your children different things.
Yeah.
Don't give us a David Hewlett when you could look it up and see there's already a David Thewlis.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Because then you will be at the end of the pool with the turds.
Float.
All right. South Korean court. Upholds a tattooing ban. Oh, man.
Oh.
This would not go well for my kids. They're all in that, what's the word I'm looking for? Generation that is like super cool with these tats, man. They're loving them. Decorate yourself, yo. Well, not in South Korea. Constitutional Court in Seoul held a ban on tattooing on Thursday, confirming South Korea as the only developed country that permits no one but medical professionals to perform the procedure.
Ooh.
Tattoo artists derided the decision, calling it backwards and lacking cultural understanding. I would agree.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, I may not be jumping to get one, but I have no problem with everyone else wanting one. Get one. Go for it. I just, I'll do it one day. Here's the deal. If Van sat down tomorrow with a piece of chalk on the sidewalk and drew some wacky little image and I loved it and he drew it for me, I'd go, oh, and I'd take a picture of it and I'd go have somebody tattoo that on my arm. That's what I'd do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to be meaningful like that. Otherwise, what are you doing? Like, I don't want to just have some permanent thing that I may or may not like in 10 years, you know?
Right. Well, for me, it's like, all right, I've already got the image figured out that I want to do. I really just need to like make it right so that I can give it to the tattoo artist, which is the cassette tape. The tape is coming out of the cassette and it's doing the waveform of Tina saying I love you and then going back into the cassette.
I do like that. That's really
cool. I have to draw that out. No problem. I can do that.
Sure.
I draw things.
Yeah, you draw
stuff. And then I need to go get it done. But then it's like, all right, once you get it done, no pools or hot tubs for X amount of time. And we've got the Vegas trip coming up. We're going to have a cabana for two of those days at the plaza. People, awesome. Come up and spend your money at the cabana so that we're not the ones paying for it. You're helping out another tadpooler if you go and you get drinks because there's a minimum to spend.
I bet I know who's doing that. I bet it rhymes.
You definitely know who's doing it. Yes.
I bet it rhymes with this name.
Barry.
Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. So so I've got to plan it out so that it's like, all right, I don't plan to get in the water at any time over the next couple weeks, few weeks, whatever.
Yeah.
So I can get the tattoo done. And then just the money and the time and stuff.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of factors for me.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. Cleo actually wants to do a whole tattoo run in Vegas. Like, let's have as many tadpoolers all get a matching TMS tattoo as possible.
Oh, my Lord. Go for it. I ain't going, though. I ain't doing it. It ain't going to be me. So anyway, this thing is crazy because it's decades old, this ban. And South Korea has nearly 50,000 tattoo artists who risk police raids and prosecution every time they put a tattoo on somebody. So it's not, it's what it sounds like to me is like, what's it like? It's like if kids in, some backwater Tennessee town get a hold of some beer, nobody's really going to raid them, like you're kind of not getting.
Exactly. Yeah.
You're not getting targeted or whatever, but.
No.
I guess they want to do this more. They want to have fines up to 50 million won. That's $41,300.
Wow.
Yeah. And prison terms, usually 2 years, though the law provides as much for life. So there must be some big cultural thing here.
It must be. And we had that in Japan too, right? Tristan had a tattoo when we went there and we couldn't go in, like there was a spa in the hotel we were staying at and they were like, no tattoos. Cause basically I think it's something to do with the Yakuza or something like that. Like only the Yakuza has tattoos.
Oh,
yeah. There we go. JC Calhoun is exactly saying it.
Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's some kind of Asian wide thing where it's
exactly. So Tina and I both had to do our little spa pool time. We actually even had to do separately cause we couldn't be in the same, pool spa because we had to both be completely naked to get into them.
Oh yeah,
it's just weird. Like, no, I have swim trunks. Can I just use my swim trunks? Nope.
No, wiener out. They say
completely naked pool.
Yep, naked pool. Get in there. Get naked.
So I was alone. I sat there for half an hour, relaxed in the water, and watched some weird Japanese game show on the TV.
Which describes all their game shows, by the way.
Which describes all their game shows, yeah.
They don't have any normal ones. When I was there, I couldn't sleep because it was the middle of the night and I hadn't gotten used to the time change. So I flipped on the TV in this tiny, ridiculous room with a bed that was half my size. And I watched them, I think I've talked about this before, but I watched them create across Tokyo. At the time was Tokyo's largest Domino's setup, but it wasn't Domino's. They were VHS cassettes.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
And they just all through Tokyo, like through
miles,
some people's
miles of this. Domino
and
rally.
They had some commentator going, talking about how great it was. Right. All in Japanese, of course. And I just sat there.
Superimposed heads on the corners of the screen going,
kind of, yeah. I think it did have a bunch of that.
Yeah.
It was weird. Very
they all
weird.
Have that weird thing where it's like they got into that reaction thing a lot sooner. You don't see other players reacting when somebody gets it on Jeopardy. They don't like show, oh, that's a good answer.
No, but I kind of would love it if we did. I think right. But anyway, I don't know. I don't know why this is such a big deal. I should ask my Korean siblings. They probably have some idea of why this is so sacrosanct over there. And the thing is, you know, I don't want to lump them in with Japan necessarily because they don't, you know, traditionally or historically, Korea has been at war with Japan for most of their existence. So I don't know if they'd have the same reasons as the Yakuza reasons.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not a gang-related reason in South Korea.
I'll bet my brother knows, though. I'll ask him.
Yeah.
He may not know. I don't know. All he gets with Korean stuff now is he sits around and watches Korean dramas on Netflix all the time without subtitles because he doesn't need them.
Right. He knows there the you language. Go.
Yeah. All
Why
I need
you,
to
there
do.
You go. Why don't you have him just translate for you? Like, so you sit there and watch Parasite, subtitles off, and he'll say, "All right, she just said this. Oh, he just said that."
Why don't you just tell me what the Parasite people are saying? All right. Here's a final story. Here, a bartender quit after his boss banned him from drinking on his day off. Oh. That's too bad.
That's like, what? You're mixing drinks at home? No!
It says, screenshots of a bartender's exchange with his boss have gone viral after he revealed his shocking text message he received on his day off, which prompted him to quit his job. In the exchange, which was shared on Reddit, the bartender explained he was having a few drinks on his day off when he got a message from his boss at 3 o'clock in the morning. It says, quote, "I need you to come in at 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. today. We have an event scheduled and one bartender." Message read. The bartender politely responded, "No, thank you," before reminding his boss it was his day off. However, the boss still demanded the bartender go to work, adding he needed to be a team player. "It isn't all about you. Please come tomorrow," the boss continued. And now I've lost text. Hold on. I'm gonna go back to that. I thought I had all this in here.
"You need to be a team player. It isn't all about you. Please come in tomorrow."
Yeah. Oh, this
Why are you just now telling me at 3 a.m. that you need me to work at 11 hours tomorrow? I've had a few drinks and I don't feel like coming to work hungover and working for that long on my day off.
You don't need to you need to stay ready for work. Getting too drunk is not a good look. If you can't stay prepared, sometimes things happen. We need to cover for each other.
He's like, "You're telling the bartender to not drink on his time off? Want to go tell the chefs not to eat off the clock too? Dude, if you'd given me more notice, I would have considered it and not just had any drinks so I wouldn't have to work that long hungover. But you waited too long. I'm already drunk, and I don't feel like coming in and working 11 hours while hungover."
Wow.
You know how to bartend too? Even if you don't, we literally have flashcards for each drink on the menu for each event. You can literally just tape them to the counter and use them as a guide to make the drinks yourself. Are you going to continue? That's your line.
I've lost. I don't even know where you're looking now. Where is this?
"We are going to talk about this attitude when you come in on Sunday." No, we're not. Bartenders are needed all over the place now. I think I'll just go work at one of the dozens of places hiring around here. I'm fed up with you.
Yeah.
"Give me a call. Don't make such an impulsive decision. You're making a mistake because you're drunk and you think it's a good idea. When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to regret this." And then he says, "Eat my ass."
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
And scene. Yeah. I like that. That's like the dream, right? When you like you quit and your boss kind of like begs you to, "Okay, hold on. Don't be so impulsive."
They took it too far. It's the boss's. I read this. I don't blame this bartender. It's not his fault. And he shouldn't have to
totally with the bartender on this one. And good for him. I hope he did find a job at a place that lets him drink on his day off.
I have a feeling he did. We do have time for one more quick one.
Okay. All right.
A derby driver crashes his new Ferrari straight after buying it. This is never good. Driver treated themselves to a Ferrari, then crashed it, driving less than 2 miles after getting it. Luxury sports car sustained major damage in the crash of St. Alkmund's Way. Derby? Mm-hmm.
Darby.
Darby.
Even though it says it's spelled Derby, but pronounced Darby.
It is Darby. Okay, so this is the UK somewhere. Derbyshire Road Policing Unit tweeted the driver. I'm sorry. Derbyshire Roads Policing Unit is an amazing title.
Yes.
I love that title. That's really good. Who had purchased the Ferrari this morning was unhurt. No other vehicles involved. The car was moved off the road and the driver arranged their own recovery. That sucks. You ever done that where you were like, got a brand new thing? Anything like walked out of a store, dropped it, shattered it on the ground, any of that sort of stuff? I did that with ice cream when I was a kid, like, but, you know.
I may have dropped some fries on the ground. had the carefully balanced fries fall off my tray as I was walking to a table, but I can't think of like a situation where something expensive I broke on the way out of the store. God, that sucks.
It does suck. I was famous as a kid. According to my parents, I was famous for dumping ice cream every time we walked out of an ice cream place. Just always did it. And cried. Got to have another one. Aww. Okay, Scott's on his second cone. Apparently that happened every time we went. I don't remember it.
Wait. So Zoe, is that not right? Derbyshire, right?
Or is it Derby? Is it Derbyshire?
It's definitely not. Oh, sure.
Sure? Derbyshire?
Derbyshire. Okay, not Derby. So I got the first part. I corrected correctly on the first part, corrected poorly on the second part.
So when they say...
Derbyshire.
Do they say that Frodo needs to go back to the Shire? That doesn't make any sense.
Sure, I will.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be here. Going to talk about his latest and greatest, so stick around for that. Yeah. We got to do a song, though. What do you got?
We have a song from Heather Sommer, and it's spelled S-O-M-M-E-R. This is a brand new single called On Demand. She is, she is from, where is she from? She reminds me of like Feist, or who's the singer that did the, oh my God, I'm blanking on the song. The ooh, what you say?
Fratuti. I gotta think of her name. Yeah. She's in the it's in the Garden State album. Or the Garden State.
Exactly. Imogen Heap. Thank you.
Gosh dang it.
Yes. So Heather Sommer reminds me a lot of Imogen Heap. And she's got, let's see, this is her second upcoming EP due later this year. It's called One Size Fits All. Here is the single from it. Here is On Demand.
Oh, that's why I knew it. For the Fru-Fru. It's Fru-Fru was her band. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Thought I was going crazy for a minute. All right. Here's that song. We'll be back in a moment.
Silver screens in static. Over, played, I've had it. Always keep on switching up the plot line. It's like driving me insane, your favorite pastime. Yeah, you're so cinematic. Acting so dramatic. When you leave me hanging and you don't say why. Bet you see it clearer when you press rewind. Cause it's 2 hours late when you show up. Used to be way too nice to say that you should grow up. Yeah, you're trying to put me on a shelf like I won't mind. Pushing all my buttons, then you play me when you feel like. Yeah, the way you treat me, I don't understand. Don't call me up like I ain't got no plans. You flip the switch to watch me slip through your hands. You only want me when I'm under demand. You think it'll come back so easily. Like you could hurt me and then press repeat. You flip the switch to watch me slip through your hands. Till I call you on your shit and you got nothing left to say. I don't wanna play this game, no. Mine is on a play from the word you wrote. When you were 2 hours late when you showed up. Used to be way too nice to say that you should grow up. Yeah, you're trying to put me on a shelf like I won't mind. Pushing all my buttons that you play me when you feel like. So watch me slip through your head.
Well, if I leave the game, I'm taking a pot with me. In a square game, I'd have won it. Duke, take your hands off that money.
Tim, don't act loco. You go reaching for your gun and...
Johnson's Jubilee.
The Morning Stream. Why did I take the blue pill?
All right, we're back. Who was that again?
That was Heather Sommer singing about how she likes to pick up a combo meal in Derbyshire, and her song On Demand from the single from her upcoming album, One Size Fits All.
So it is Derbyshire. We got it now.
Derbyshire.
Okay. Derbyshire. All right. You people over there with your weird ancient customs.
Jeez.
We don't know.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to bring Bill in, but to do that. Oh, wow. I forgot I changed.
I should have said, oh, sure.
What? What happened?
That's what I should have said. That's how you pronounce it. It's not Shire. It's oh, sure.
Oh, I like that. It's even better. All right, let's get Bill in here. I think we have a thing for him. Here it is.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Durant joining us from punishprops.com and the Pacific Northwest, where he makes cool stuff all the time and encourages others to do the same. He has got a great YouTube channel that we talk about all the time. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
And happy birthday.
Yeah, Thank you. Happy birthday to you and your twin brother, teacher.
Oh, him too?
Yeah.
What are the odds?
Every year.
Yep. I saw a picture the other day. I usually can tell the difference between you guys, no problem, just because I know you both and it's not a big deal. But the photo you guys put up on, I think it was Facebook, maybe it was Twitter, I actually had a hard time telling who was doing
this. Yeah,
that threw
turns me. Out identical genes.
Yeah, it's just usually what it is his hair is usually longer than yours.
Yeah,
and right now,
we have slightly different beard configurations and different glasses and stuff.
Yeah,
but I took my glasses off for that photo.
Yeah,
it's pretty similar.
Yeah, you guys are, you know, you came out. Who was first? Who was out the shoot first?
That would be me, and it was a C-section.
Oh, all right. So you were out the...
We were stuck.
Yeah?
We weren't coming out the normal way.
Yeah. So when you leave a house, do you go out the window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. When you get into a... never mind. I'm not going to go there.
I think I stole that from Stephen Wright, I think, or somebody. I know it was like a... I'm a C-section baby, so when I leave a house, I go out the window.
That's a pretty good... It's a pretty good Stephen Wright. Well, Bill, we're good. It's good to have you here. You're always making cool stuff, and it's always happening. So we don't know until you get in here and tell us what the hell you're doing. So what's going on this week?
That's right. Yes. Oh, and one quick thing, too. I won't be here next week because I will be in Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Sure. Will you see Randy while you're out there?
No, he'll miss Randy by like a day or something.
Two ships passing in the night.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You know who is out there, though? What's her name from the Fireflies out there right now? Can't think of her name. The one that says she ain't had nothing.
Jewel State?
Yes, her. I was going to make a Twixter Nethers joke. But yeah, she's out there right now. So if you know, you can wave at her and all the people. Oh, apparently Randy saw the coach. What's his name who played coach?
Yeah, Craig T. Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson. Yeah. He saw there and talked to him for a minute. So
that just came full circle. And we will talk about making it in a minute. But... when I was at Emerald City Comic Con like 10 years ago, I went up to Jewel State's signing booth on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I bought a signed photo and I asked her. I was the only person in line. She had just showed up. I asked her if I could call my brother and she could wish him a happy birthday, and she did.
Oh, that's nice.
He is awesome. Jewel State's the coolest.
She seems like legit awesome. She's really great.
I sat a few bar stools away from her at Dragon Con one year, and I was, but she was deep in talk with Marina Baccarin, and so I decided, as much as I'd like to go over there and say, hello ladies. I did not want to interrupt because.
Do you want to go and say, hey, I named my cat after your character on the
It was
the
way thing? Before that. I would have to say something like, the cat I get in 6 years, I'm going to name after you. after your space hooker character on that show.
That's perfect. Well, that's great. So, Bill, celebrity sightings aside, what are you making this week? What's going on?
Well, have you guys heard about this new game came out called Tunic?
Yes, I have
heard about that. I hear good things about it.
I played a bunch of it. It's awesome. It's a rad little game. It's weird because when this got announced, I was at that Geeks thing here in Salt Lake City that no longer exists. It's like a convention. Remember, Brian, the one you came out to in like 2012, 2013, and we spoke at it, sat at a table? Do you remember that? Brian? Oh, huh? Where did Brian go?
Oh, I'm fine.
Oh, I didn't know you
were. Sorry, I just...
I was asking you a question. I didn't know you left.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ask it again.
Do you remember that Geeks?
Grab my,
do you remember that Geeks thing you came to that one year out here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that at that event, a couple years later, they announced Tunic at, well, they announced it at the Microsoft event, or maybe it was E3. But then they showed it and had it playable at this event. I remember playing it a little bit and going, oh, this is awesome.
Wow.
But this is like 2014 or something. Yeah, it's forever ago.
Crazy, yeah.
So now that game's finally out. It's like a dude and his wife. And I also got to sit next to the wife at in Columbus at their that event that I went
to. Yeah, when you went to that thing, yeah.
We were talking about running a family and parenting while doing creative jobs. And that was the whole, it had nothing to do with Tunic. But she was like co-producer on Tunic. And even then, that was like 2018, and I remember thinking, is the thing ever going to come out? We can ever see freaking Tunic? Finally, Tunic exists, and it's good. Cool. It's actually really good. So, Bill, what are you making in there? I'm a little Tunic guy or what? What are you doing?
Well, they reached out to us to sponsor a video, and we jumped at it because it looked so cool. Yeah. And also, the weapons from the game are super adorable. So... We made the sword and shield that your little fox character gets to run around with.
Oh, cool.
They're kind of the main weapons from the game. They're very cartoony looking and kind of a perfect candidate for some old school foam smithing.
Yeah.
Bring back the foam smith. So Britt took the images from the game and put together some patterns for both the sword and shield. And of course, those patterns if anyone else wants to make them, they're free on our website. Free to download and print out at home.
Nice.
And these are two-dimensional patterns that you use to create a 3D object. For the sword, it's all made out of foam, but the center of the sword, we put a fiberglass rod down the middle of it that supports it, makes the whole thing more rigid. That rod was glued between layers of EVA foam. You guys know I love my EVA foam.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can't get enough.
And then cut and shaped to make the blade, the guard, and the handle.
Nice.
And of course, I'm saying all this. There is a video over at punishprops.com over on our YouTube channel where we show the whole process.
That's so cool.
That is cool. Does it feel like a dipping back into some older stuff for you, given that you're working in so many materials now? I guess foam never quite leaves, but you know.
Yeah, we just sort of float between all these different disciplines. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's fun. Foam is so fast, and for me anyway, it's quite easy to jump into those techniques. And I have all the cool tools. Mostly on this one, the bandsaw was extremely useful. And I believe I pointed out in the video, I say, you know, boy, if I was getting into foam right now, the first thing I would get is a bandsaw, because it's just so useful.
Yeah.
I can do angled cuts, like at a specific angle, and they're repeatable on the bandsaw. Oh, just so handy.
That's awesome. So when you're done? Do they get to keep this, or what's the deal?
That wasn't part of the deal, but after we made it, they emailed us and said they would like to buy it. Oh, I'm not sure if I want to get rid of it or not.
Yeah. I was going to say, because that's hard, right? You've talked about this before. They're kind of your babies, and they're difficult to give away once you finish them. And that's
right. Yeah. But also, my babies are filling my house. I'm running out of room.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a full-size Surtur skull right now. It just takes up a wall.
Wait, what's a Surtur skull?
Oh, yeah, we made
Surtur, Thor Ragnarok, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What? So, that's cool.
Yeah, Brittany that's made really one of those 2 years ago. Oh, so, yeah, these may end up on display at the Tunic World Headquarters.
Yeah, that's awesome. It looks really good. That game's really fun, by the way. It's difficult in a kind of Souls-like sort of way, but also in a Souls-like sort of way, you discover what you're doing better as you do it, and then you're like, oh, okay, I can do this, and then you move on to the next area, and it's a very cool game. So people ask about it, like, what's it? What is that game? Well, it's basically take a little bit of Zelda, a lot of Zelda, actually, take some kind of indie sensibilities about art and design, and then take some sort of Souls-like mystery and difficulty, and there's your game, and it's very well thought of. It's a very cool little game.
Yeah. It's and I have a tip. If anyone's playing the game and they're struggling, especially on a boss, try throwing a ton of dynamite at the boss. That's my go-to move. I'm not very good at dodging enemy attacks or anything.
Yeah.
But they're not very good at dodging dynamite. So just grind a bunch of dudes, get some money, go buy a bunch of dynamite and throw that at the boss.
Yeah.
That seems to work pretty well for me.
I would recommend that as well, but it's hard to get that much dynamite. It's a difficult, rare commodity in that game. But yes, you're right. Dynamite. Always bring dynamite to a gunfight, I always say. Well, that's awesome. Looks really, really nice, cool. As usual.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a really fun build. Brittany and I worked on it together. The video is just a lot of our shenanigans. It's a 50-minute video, and the end of it, there is 2.5 minutes of bloopers. So that's how the build went.
Oh, I love bloopers. They're my favorites. Yeah, you guys do good stuff with your bloopers anyway. Well, that's awesome. Go check it out. Of course, punishprops.com has a video up right now. It's also on the YouTube channel. And Bill, as usual, you probably brought a little something extra today. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm sharing a video by Primitive Technology. It's this one is specifically about a brick kiln, brick molds, and the bricks he makes with those molds. I've never shared a Primitive Technology video, and I'm surprised I haven't because they're really great.
He really goes all in too, like the whole
shirtless
walk around in shorts, make brick.
Yeah.
Make brick. So this guy has property in Australia where he lives, and he builds all of this stuff, structures, clay pots, everything he needs to make all of these things. He builds it all by hand by digging it out of the earth or hacking down trees. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating. It's so good. There's no audio. Now, if you do want to get more of the story, I recommend turning on the closed captions. That's where he puts more of the descriptive stuff.
Okay.
And also, if he does any silly jokes, he hides those in the closed captions as well.
Nice.
This is great.
So when he's done,
build up this whole hut, like this whole building with the stakes?
Yeah.
With these bricks?
Yeah. Yeah. And then he might be bricking the whole thing in. I'm not sure how far I don't remember how far it gets in this video, but I think he's building bricks and he's just like pulling clay out of the stream.
Yeah.
So it looks like I was gonna wonder what he's gonna, what's the word, not caulking, what is it you put between the
mortar?
Is that what he's making right now, is mortar?
No, I think maybe he doesn't get into that in this video.
Yeah, like they put some ash in there to keep the mud from sticking to the inside. Oh, look at that, he's got like 60 bricks already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he is caveman. This guy.
And then he uses the clay that he uses to make the bricks, to make the mold to make the bricks, and then he uses that mold to make the bricks.
That's really great.
Which came first, the mold or the brick?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is so great. Yep. Wow.
He's living the life, dude. Look at this. Yeah. Look at this old school human endeavor, you know?
This guy would kill it on Naked and Afraid.
Yeah,
like he's already 2/3 of the way there with the naked. And
yeah, he's already afraid. No, that's the problem. He's never afraid. Very, very cool. All right, go check that out, you guys. That is Primitive Technology on YouTube and worth a view, clearly. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us, man. I hope you're doing good. Everything going out good otherwise? Having fun up there?
I mean, I'm flying to Hawaii tomorrow, so I am in a great mood.
You're jealous. Yeah, I'm jealous, too. That's awesome. Well, have a great time while you're out there. We'll miss you next week, forward to hearing your stories. We'll see you then.
See you.
Bye now. That's great.
That's cool.
I want to make bricks.
No kidding.
It's talking about sinks and stuff.
Yeah, start by unwrapping that clay, Scott.
That's true. It's right here. It's getting closer. It's right here. That and the Batman thing are sitting right here ready to be worked on. I got a whole space for it and everything. See? Look at that. You can't see it.
Start out just by priming the Batman. That'll, like, 90% of how good that thing will look could be done in priming. You may prime it and decide you don't even want to bother painting it.
Well, and plus it says it's Fine Primer is the brand.
It is fine. Darn right. I don't get you any crap primer, Scott. That's Fine Primer.
That's an ASMR sound for me, this. I love that
sound. Yeah. Yeah.
Something about it. Reminds me of a million things. All right. Well, there you go, everybody. That's going to do it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us, watching, and being here today. We appreciate it. Be back tomorrow with more, with some Wednesday fun. Tom's out tomorrow. He's got
a
vet appointment in the morning, so he won't be here either tomorrow. But
he's still going to be drowsy by the time to do the show.
Exactly. Although I think he's around for DTNS and all that. He just won't be here in the morning. So we'll miss him, but all the other goofiness will happen tomorrow. I should probably let Randy know because he would want to be.
Brian Dunaway, Randy. Oh, yeah, we'll probably get Randy earlier then.
Yeah, get him early, which is good because we can go for a while with Randy, I've learned.
Isn't he still in Hawaii, though? It's going to be like, oh, so now you're going to be calling me at 4:15 a.m. instead of 4:30 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully that extra 15 minutes won't kill him. Anyway, so that'll be fun. We're looking forward to that. Hey, Brian, one thing that is important around here is we can't do the show without the financial support of our listeners. It is entirely fueled by their efforts, and we would love it if they continue to do so and also got some new folks in here. Even a buck a month would make you get cool stuff you've never had before. Yeah, that's right. Patreon.com/TMS has all the details, so go read about it. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. That's it. Let's play a song and get out. What do you got?
Sure. Katie Fisk wrote in and said, hello, Spider-Man and Blade. I like that her last name is Fisk and she called us Spider-Man and Blade.
Oh, I like it.
Today is the birthday of the love of my life. David, this is actually tomorrow, but we have two for tomorrow. So she's getting his birthday early. Today's the birthday of the love of my life, David. We've been together for almost 4 years. And in 2021, we bought our first home together. I can't imagine sharing a home with anyone else. David loves all kinds of music, but one of his favorite bands is the Dropkick Murphys. In honor of his 34th birthday, could the cover master play a cover of or by the Murphys? Thank you so much. And you can eat rice.
Oh, do I have that handy? I should. Let's see. Rice, 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 rice. Oh, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, Birdum.
That's not it.
It's definitely not it.
That's Hi, Birdum. Hold on. I'm not giving up. Okay, here it is. I found it.
Then you can eat rice!
There it is.
Excellent. So here's what's cool is today, of all days, is a really good day to play this. We're, you know, without Bobby, we're running a little short here. This is a good 7-minute song to round things out. Oh, no, it's not. This is a 3.5-minute song. I decided against the 7-minute song. Never mind. Anyway, this is by the Dropkick Murphys from their album The Meanest of Times from 2007. They're covering Thin Lizzy. Oh, love this version. Here is Jailbreak.
Nice. All right, one quick thing. It is also my daughter Taylor's birthday today. And so
happy birthday, Taylor.
For Taylor, who turns 28 of all crazy numbers, and for our 34-year-old listener, this is for you.
Happy birthday to you.
All right. Happy birthday to both of you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy dirt day. We hope you have a great day. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you then.
Trouble. So woman, stay with a friend. tonight there's gonna be a breakout into the city zones. Don't you dare to try and stop us, no one could for long. Searchlight on my trail, tonight, tonight all systems fail. Hey you, good looking female, come here. Tonight is gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. Tonight is gonna be a jailbreak, so don't you be around. Tonight is gonna be trouble I'm gonna find myself in. Tonight is gonna be trouble, so woman, stay with a friend.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Now you know that little boys like our Johnny have a penis.
Uh-huh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.